Daf Yud Zayin. When Ulo would leave the yeshiva, he would kiss his sister on the arm out of kavod. Some said this was usher to do, since the pasuk says le'sikrav le'galois erva. One can't even come close to an erva. There was a sinner named Elazar ben Durdaya, who placed his head between his knees and cried until his neshama left him and he died. A bas kovan came out and said that Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya should come directly to Olam Haba. And we see this was true because Yesh Kaina Olamai b'sha'achas, i.e. he did tshuva just before he died. Rav Huna said, whoever is Isaac and Torah alone, but not in Gemilas Chesed, it's like he doesn't have Hashem to protect him. And finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that a person shouldn't give his money to a tzedakah fund unless the gabbai watching the tzedakah fund is a Talmud Chacham. Daf Yud Ches. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan was taken into custody, and they asked him why he learned Torah and taught it publicly. He answered that he did it because Hashem commanded us to learn Torah. They were geyser on him, that he would be burned to death, his wife would be killed, and his daughter would be put in a kupa shel zayna. The Gemara says, here are the people who get no Olam Haba. Number one, they say Torah wasn't given in Shamayim. Number two, that there is no Tchias HaMesim. And number three, if someone pronounces the Shem Hashem with the letters they're written in. While one can't learn Chukas HaGoyim Stam, but if they do it in order to understand it, then it's mutter. Anyone who can protest against someone who does something wrong, and he doesn't, can also get punished for the Avera. The Gemara says, when they brought Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyan to kill him, they burnt him, and they burnt him while he was holding a Sefer Torah. But they put soaked sponges of wool on his heart to prolong his agony. His Talmidim asked him, what do you see? He said he sees the parchment of the Torah is burning, but the words are flying away. They told him to open his mouth so he would die faster. He answered, it's better that the one who gave me my life should take away my life. Tosfos explains that although a person is not allowed to hasten his own death, but if someone knows that if they stay alive, they'll be forced to do averas, then a person can hasten his own death. We know that the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, brings down the story of 400 Jewish children who were captured by the Romans to be exploited for sinful purposes. The children who anticipated what would be happening to them, that they would eventually do these averas, jumped off the ship and drowned themselves, rather than allow themselves to be taken by the Romans. And this is because they were afraid they would come to do averas later on. They would be unable to withstand the torture, or they would be physically forced to do the averas. Rabbeinu Tam learns from this that in a case where one is in a situation that he's afraid he would be coerced to transgress one of the three major averas, Gidei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, or Shfichas Damim, then, which for someone is normally mechuyev to sacrifice his life, and he doesn't think he'll be able to withstand the torture, then it's a mitzvah for him to take his own life. Rameir told the guard of the Kupa Shel Zayna that if the government would make trouble for him, he should say the words Elokah Demeir Aneni. This guard then released the daughter of Chanina ben Tradyan, who was also the sister of Bruria, the wife of Rameir. And since this guard did this, he was Kaina Olamai b'sha'achas, he also went to Olam Haba. If someone goes to a stadium and sees magic, this is like getting involved with Moshe Leitzim, and this could bring someone to Bittul Torah. You also shouldn't go to theaters and circuses, since they can do Avodah Zarah there, or because of Meshav Leitzim. Anyone who does Litzanis can end up getting Yisurim, suffering. His Mezainis can get less, and he can end up in Gehenim. And finally, Rabbi Ishiya said, anyone who is a Bal Gaiva will end up in Gehenim. Daf Yud Tes. Blessed was Avram Avinu who didn't follow the people of the Dor HaFloga, those who built the big tower in Babel. They wanted to fight with Hashem. Also, he didn't go with the people of Sodom, who were very big sinners. The pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Yud Beis, that says, Ashrei Ish Yarei Hashem, blessed is the person who is Yarei Hashem. This says that a person who serves Hashem because he loves him is much better than a person who just serves Hashem in order to just be Mekabel Schar. Taisus asks in Baba Basra, Daf Yud, if a person gives tzedakah just so his son will live long, or so that he will be a ben Olam Haba, he's still considered to be a tzaddik gomer. So we see, if you do it just for the schar, you're also considered to be a tzaddik. Taisus answers, you can want to get the schar for a mitzvah, but if that's the only reason you do the mitzvah, then your schar isn't as great as if you do it bi'ahava as well. The Gemara says a person can only succeed in Torah if he learns a part of the Torah which is of interest to him, or he learns it in a place that he enjoys learning. Reb Avdimi said, anyone who learns Torah, Hashem will be sure that all of your heart's desires will be given to you. The Gemara says, in the beginning, when one learns Torah, it's called his Torah. But later, it actually becomes your Torah. As the Pasuk says, Uvisarasai Yahageh. The Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, once sat on the words in B'chukaisai Teilechu, that B'chukaisai comes from the word Chakika, carving. When one writes ink on a piece of paper, the ink and the paper are really separate items. Mashain came, when one carves a word on a stone, the words really are the same thing as the stone, because they're carved and etched right into the stone, since they're really the same Metziah. So too, when one learns Torah, after a while, his whole Metzias becomes Torah, and the Torah and him become like one, B'chukaisai and Chakika. Rava said, first a person should learn Torah from his Rebbe, then he should be Yehegeh, he should meditate and find Chidushim. Also, Rava said a person should learn a lot of Inyanim, Bekiyas, so he'll get a broad spectrum, then he should go into all the details. Pshera said if a person learns Torah Chavilas Chavilas, a lot of Torah without any Chazara, he'll forget a lot of what he learned. Better learn some, and then do Chazara, and then learn some more. Any person who learns the Svaras Torah from just one Rebbe, he won't see a Siman Bracha from it. But to learn Gemara, it's okay to learn from one Rebbe, so as not to get confused. Reb Tanchum Bar Chanilai said, a person should divide his days into three parts, one-third Mikra, one-third Mishnah, and one-third Gemara. If a Talmud isn't mature enough to paskin halacha, he shouldn't paskin, because if he does, he can cause a lot of damage. Age 40 is really the age of maturity to paskin, unless there isn't anyone else as smart as this younger Talmud Chacham, then he can paskin even under the age of 40. It's written in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim that if someone learns Torah, his nechasim will have a lot of hatzlacha. If a person wants to live long, he shouldn't speak Lashon Hara, as we see in Tilim Lamed Dalet, Mi'a'ish ha'chafetz chayim ayev yamim liras tayv, nitzar l'shayincha meira. But in addition, a person must also stay away from bad and do good, as we see in Tilim, sur meira v'ase tayv. And learning Torah helps a person be good, as we see in Mishle, Dalet, ki lekach tayv nasati lachem, tayrasi al tazayvu. The Gemara says the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes usur the moment it is made, but the Avodah Zarah of a Goy becomes usur only after it is worshipped. When a person is hired to do a job, it's a machlokes if ein l'schiras el l'besayf, if he is paid for the job after it's completed. So if it isn't finished, he gets nothing. According to this, one wouldn't be able to take money for building an Avodah Zarah. Or do you say, yesh na l'schiras mitchila v'ad sayf? Each increment of work gets an equivalent amount of pay. Therefore, one could get paid for building an Avodah Zarah for a guy, since it won't become an actual Avodah Zarah until the very end. This is what the Gemara's maskana is. The Mishnah. One shouldn't make jewelry that will be used for an Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Elazar says, if he gets paid for it, then it is allowed. Also the Mishnah says, you can't sell an idol worshipper an item which is mechuber lekarka, but you can sell it to him after it's cut off from the ground. Tafchaf, the Gemara. You can't sell him mechuber lekarka, as we see in Devarim Zayin, lo sechanim. Don't be gracious to them, i.e. don't give them a stake in the land. Others say, this pasuk is to teach us not to say about a guy, you're standing in front of a guy and you say, look how wonderful that guy is, i.e. a lot of chen to the guy. Others say, we use this pasuk to tell us not to give him things bechinam, for free. The Gemara brings the pasuk in Devarim Yudalad, le'soichlu kol nevela, that if an animal dies by itself, it's usur to eat, because it's considered to be a nevela. But one can give it to a ger toshav. A ger toshav is a guy who isn't eved avodah zarah, or the person can sell it to a guy. According to a mayor, he is allowed to sell it to a guy. According to a Yehuda, he's not allowed to sell it to a guy. The Gemara says one pshat in le'soichanim is not to give chen to a guy. Don't say, look how nice this guy is. I, the Gemara asks that once Rav Shimon ben Gamliel saw a Goyish woman who was beautiful, and he said, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem? How was he allowed to do that? The Gemara answers, he wasn't praising the Goya himself, but praising Hashem who created her. Aye, but how did he look at her? We know from the Pasuk in Devarim, Chaf Gimel, Pasuk says, V'dishmarta mikol davara, one shouldn't look at a beautiful woman, even if she's a Pnuya, even if she's unmarried. The Gemara answers, he didn't look at her, but she happened to pass him on the road. Taisvis asks, if Leisachanim doesn't allow you to give a gift to a guy, what will we do with the din that says, Mibnei Darkei Shalom, that you should give tzedakah to a poor guy, just like you give tzedakah to poor Jews? Taisvis answers, since we're doing it mipnei darkei shalom, this is not considered matnas chinam. It's not really giving something to a guy for free, which would be transgressing the isra of leisachanim. But rather, it's being done for the benefit of darkei shalom. This would be mutter. From the pasuk in Devarim chaf gimel v'nishmartem mikol davara, we learn that a person shouldn't have bad thoughts by day, so he won't have tuma by night. Pinchas ben Yair said, Torah brings you to zrizus. Zrizus brings you to chasidus, and chasidus brings you to anava. Anava brings you to yiraschet. Yiraschet brings you to kedusha. Kedusha brings you to racha kaidish, and racha kaidish brings you to tchias amesim. But chasidus is bigger than everything. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says, anava is greater than everything. Taf Chaf Aleph, the Mishnah. One is not allowed to rent houses to a guy in Eretz Yisrael. This is a gzera, since we're not allowed to sell him houses in Eretz Yisrael. And for sure, you're not allowed to give them karka. By karka, there would actually be two isurim. But in Syria, you can rent houses, since Syria is considered kibush yachid. David was the one who conquered it. And since it's kibush yachid, you're allowed to rent houses. This is not really like Eretz Yisrael, because it's only kibush yachid. But you're not allowed to rent fields to a guy in Syria. Rameir says, in Chutzlaretz, you can rent and sell houses, but fields, you can only rent, not sell. Rabbi Yaisi says, in Eretz Yisrael, you can rent houses, but not fields. In Syria, you can sell houses, but only rent fields. In Chutzlaretz, you can even sell them fields and houses. But in general, if you rent them houses, you cannot allow the Avodah Zarah into the house. And a bathhouse, you cannot rent him at all, since he'll do work on Shabbos, and people will think he's doing the work for you. And this is, of course, Marasayan. Rashi, by the way, learns that Kibush Yachid means land that David HaMelech conquered, not through the Urim Metumim. The Rambam and Taisvis learn that Kibush Yachid is the land that was conquered before the main parts of Eretz Yisrael were conquered. The Gemara. If you sell a house to a guy, there is no obligation to put up a mezuzah. That's because mezuzah is chevas hadar. The chiyav of mezuzah isn't on the one who owns the house, but rather on the person who lives in the house. The Gemara says, Rameir holds kibush yachid shmei kibush. Kibush yachid is considered like a regular kibush. Therefore, one is not allowed midoraisa to sell karka or to sell a house in Syria to a guy, because Syria is sort of like Eretz Yisrael. So when the Chachamim made a gzera not to rent him a house in Syria, otu, the fact that you're not allowed to sell him a house, so you won't come to sell him the field, this is only one gzera, and therefore the gzera is binding. It's a gzera, and a gzera, a person has to be mekabel. However, according to Rabbi Yaisi, who holds kibush yachid lav shmei kibush, the iser of selling is already a gzera, min rabbanan, and the iser of renting is also a gzera. So therefore now you have one gzera and another gzera, and gzera a gzera layamrinan. We know that we hold one gzera and another gzera is not binding. The halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi, that in chutz la'aretz you can sell goyim both houses and fields, but Rabbi Yaisi says you shouldn't sell to a lot of Gaim, i.e. to three different Gaim, since you'll turn the area into a neighborhood of Gaim. If you do something which causes a Yisrael to do an Avera, you're Iver and Lifne Iver. But if you cause something to happen which causes something else to happen for a Yisrael to do an Avera, you're not Iver, since Lifne Adelifne does not apply. Lifne Iver is an Isser, but Lifne Delifne is not considered an Isser. This is like an indirect Avera. It's like you sell to one guy who may sell to another guy, and to that extent, the Gzera, the Isser does not apply. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you shouldn't rent out a bathhouse to a guy, since bathhouses are known by their owner's name. And since the guy will do malachas in the bathhouse on Shabbos and Yontif, it'll be Maris Ha'ayin. But what if you rent to a kusi? A kusi is someone who may be ger emes. That should be okay, since he won't do malacha on Shabbos and Yontif. Gemara says no, since on Chol HaMoed he might do malacha. No, the Gemara says, no, it's okay to give it to a kusi, because it'll really be mutter. This type of malacha is mutter on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, when a kusi works in a field, you can't rent him the field, since even though you might think, they might think that he's an aras, a sharecropper, no, because even if whatever happens, happens, if he works on Chol HaMoed, they'll say that he's working for Yisrael. Taisus, by the way, brings a raya from our Gemara that the Isser of Lifne Iver can also apply to an Isser derabanan, since malacha on Chol HaMoed is only an Isser derabanan. And the Gemara seems to have an issue with that. The Achrayim ask, if you cause someone to do an Issa Derabanan, how can you be over on an Issa Daraisa of Lifnei Iver? How can a Derabanan create an Issa Midaraisa? That's why many Achrayim hold that you're only over on the Issa Lifnei Iver Midarabanan in this situation. Other Achrayim learn, Even for an Issa Darabanan, you can still be over the Issa Daraisa of Lifnei Iver. Daf Chaf Beis. If a Goy and a Yehudi become sharecroppers on a large field owned by someone else, the Yehudi can't say to the Goy, you work on Shabbos and take your profit from Shabbos, and I'll work on Chol and take my share from Chol. This is Usser, since they're partners for all work all week. Unless they make this specific arrangement before the partnership took place, then it's Mutter. What if the Goy on his own worked on Shabbos? Can they split the profits equally? Mara says, Teku. This marks the end of this perek. Now let's begin Perek Beis, Ein Ma'amidin, the Mishnah. One is not allowed to put animals in the inn of Goyim because we're afraid that they may do an immoral act with the animal. Also, a woman should not remain alone with Goyim because we're chayshish for arayas. Also, a man shouldn't be alone with them since we're afraid of murder. Gemara. If the Mishnah is correct, why is it mutter to buy an animal from a Goy for a carbon? Let's be chayshish for an immoral act. More answers. If he wanted to sell it, he wouldn't do an immoral act, because then he would risk that the animal would become barren and weak and lower the value of the animal for sale. The Gemara says an almana shouldn't raise a dog or have a student stay in her house because we're afraid something bad may happen, i.e. immorality. Taisva says, nowadays we are allowed to leave animals by Goyim. Daf Chaf Gimel. If a woman was captured for the purpose of money, when released she can return to her husband. But if she was captured for dinei nefashos, then she can't go back to live with her husband because we're chayshish for arayas. By the way, if a married woman had relations with a guy, if it was beratzen, she can't return to her husband. But if it was shalei beratzen, then she remains mutter. However, if she was married to a kayin, she's usser to go back to her husband, whether it was beratzen or shalei beratzen. Rabbi Elazar says that a para aduma, when brought for Klal Yisrael, must be brought from Klal Yisrael, not from Goyim, since we're afraid of an immoral act was done with the cow. The Chachamim say, it's mutter to buy from Goyim. A carbon, which is called kache mizbeach, has a lot of special psulim, including the fact that if the animal is yoytze daifen, it was born through a caesarean section, that it is pasul for a carbon. Any place where the Torah uses the word hashchasa, it's referring to corruption via erva or avodah zarah. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, how far does the mitzvah of kibud av va'em go? He told over the story of what the goy did for his father in Ashkelon. This guy's name was Dava. Once they wanted to buy special stones from his collection for the ephod, and it would have meant a tremendous profit for him. But the keys to the safe where the stones were under his father's pillow. And so as not to wake up his father, he passed up on the deal. And he missed making a lot of money, all because of Kibud Av Va'Em. So too, this is how far we must go for the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em. Daf Chof Dalet. If a para was nirva while she was pregnant, not only is the para pasul for a carbon, so too is the child pasul for a carbon. The Gemara says we're always chayshish when we take an animal from a guy that maybe the animal was nirva. But before Matan Torah, we weren't chayshish for this, as we see by Moshe from Para Yisra. The fact that the aron was pulled by animals from Goyim was a special hayras shah, a one-time heter. In fact, these animals said shira while they traveled with the aron. When Yehoshua fought the five Melachim, the sun stopped and was silent, meaning it didn't say Shira when it traveled. The Gemara says just like the sun stood still for Yehoshua, it also stood still for Moshe by the fight against Sichon, and it also stood still for Nachdimin Ben-Gurion, who prayed for the rain in front of the Hegmon. What Sefer HaYoshar is referring to is a Machlokes. Some say it's referring to Shaftim, some say Mishneh Torah. The Gemara says one man is not allowed to stay privately together with two women. Rashi explains, since nashim daitan kalas, they can easily become persuaded to do znus. Of course, it is also for a man to be alone with one woman. If a man's wife is with him, then yichud is okay for two women, since his wife will protect him from znus. If a Yisrael is traveling with a guy, he should have the guy to his right. So if the guy has a sword and he wants to kill you, you can grab it with your right hand before he does. Also, a Yisrael should never bend down in front of a guy because the guy could hit him in the head. Daf Chav Vav. They say that a weaver who isn't humble will lose 1 year of his life. The Mishnah. A Bas Yisrael is not allowed to serve as a midwife to a Goya, since she'll cause the birth of someone who will be an Eved Avodah Zarah. but an Evedes Kechavim can serve as a midwife for Yisrael, and we're not chayshish she'll harm the child. Finally, a Bas Yisrael cannot serve as a nursemaid for the child of an Akum, but vice versa is okay, as long as it's done in the house of a Yisrael. The Rach, who is brought in the Ran, brings the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, which says that in the absence of Jewish milk, a Jewish infant may be fed milk of a Goy, or other non-kosher milk, because depriving him of milk can endanger his life. The Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, Reish Sin and Kufnin Dalet, paskens like the Rashba, who holds that all human milk is considered kosher. The Ramah in Yeridea, Simon Pe Aleph Sif Zayin, says, however, that one should not allow his child to nurse from a non-Jew if Jewish milk is available, since it could have a detrimental effect on the child's character development. The Vilna Gaon in Saif Sif Katan Lamed Aleph says that this concept is derived from the incident concerning Moshe Rabbeinu, brought in the Gemara in Saita Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara relates that Moshe Rabbeinu was a child in the palace of Paray, and he didn't want to nurse from the milk of the Egyptian nursemaids, because drinking Egyptian milk would hinder his spiritual growth and make him unfit to speak with Hashem. The Ramah says further that a nursing mother should be very cautious with her diet, because milk which comes from non-kosher food can have a detrimental effect on the child's ruchnius and all of his development later on in life. The Gemara. Some say that an Evedes Kechavim can only serve as a midwife to Yisrael if there are other people around. Rabbi Yosef said, a Bas Yisrael can be a midwife for an Akum, even on Shabbos, even though there is Chilul Shabbos. This is Mishum Eva, because of hatred. If she sees the person doing this for Yisrael and not for her, she'll hate her. The halacha of Mumer is a machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina. One says, if a person is a Mumer L'Teyavan, then he's called a mumer. But if he's a mumer lahachis, then he's considered a min, and he's worse than a mumer. And one says even a mumer lahachis is called a mumer. Only if one is Eved Avodah Zarah is a person called a min. A mumer lahachis is a person who bedafka does something just to bedafka make Hashem angry. And a mumer l'tayavan, which isn't as bad as a mumer lahachis, is a person who's a mumer because he just can't hold himself back from doing something. For example, person has a regular hamburger and he has a McDonald's hamburger. And the McDonald's hamburger to him is much better. He just can't get over his taiva. So he eats the hamburger, the McDonald's hamburger, because he really just can't hold himself back. That's called a mumer l'tayava. The Gemara says that Yisrael is allowed to circumcise a guy for the purpose of gerus, but not for health reasons, unless he's paid to do it. But a guy cannot serve as a mayel for Yisrael, as for chayshish for shvichas damim. The Chachamim, however, say that it's okay for a guy to be a mayel for Yisrael, as long as there are other people watching him do the milah. Rabbi Akiva Eger finds difficulty with this opinion, as is brought in Kuntres al Hadaf. For even if the guy performs the bris milah with the proper intentions, and the bris is otherwise valid, how can a father who has a mitzvah to circumcise his son allow a guy to perform the milah? Inasmuch as the Torah places the responsibility of circumcision on the boy's father, the father is obligated to either perform the bris milah himself or appoint a qualified shliach in his stead. The reason a father can fulfill his obligation to circumcise his son by appointing a shliach to perform the bris for him is because of the rule of shluchai shel adam kamaisai. An agent is halachically considered as the man himself. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, however, that a goy is not considered to be a good shliach, as the rule of Ein Shlichus La'akum, a goy cannot be empowered to serve in the capacity of a shliach, and therefore, we really shouldn't be allowed to let a father have a goy perform the bris for him. In answer to this question, Rabbi Akiva Eger postulates that the Torah apparently did not obligate a father to personally perform a bris milah on his child. The Torah only commissioned him to see to it that his child is circumcised. When a bris is performed at the father's behest, the father fulfills his obligation by virtue of the fact that he has arranged his son's circumcision. However, it is not necessary to invoke the concept of shlichus because the father is not obligated to personally perform the bris. Consequently, the father, according to this opinion, fulfills his mitzvah even if the guy performs the circumcision at his behest, despite the fact that a guy cannot act in the capacity of a shliach. Halacha lemaisa, we don't follow this opinion, and a bris which is performed by a guy is not considered to be good, as is brought in the Torah in the Ramah, Yeridea, Simen, Reish Samach Dalet, Sif Aleph. What if the a baby child, there was a milah done by a guy, b'di'evit, then is that considered a good bris milah or not? The Rama says that b'di'evit, if a guy did a milah on a Jewish child, we have to go back and take out a little bit of dam, hatafes dam bris milah. But the Mechaber says, b'di'evit, you don't have to go back and do that. Daf Chav Zayin. Rabbi Yehuda learns from Himal Yimal that a milah, when done, must be done lishma. Rabbi Yossi says, it doesn't have to be done lishma. Mitzvah Shabbat, the next tape, we'll begin with the next mission here on Daf Chav Zayin, but at this point we will conclude our shir.